we all headed over to 21A Queen Street, where Modern Fuel Artist Run Center was originally located, to dance.
Spotlight Noir at Modern Fuel. Tickets are $10 at the door, featuring DJs C'est La Vie, Yeah Cool, and Willie Blake. A black and or white dress code will be in effect.
I mean, if there's a listener-supported radio station, that means that people can get
daily, every day, a different way of looking at the world. Not just what the corporate media want you to see, but a different picture, a different understanding, but a different picture, a different understanding. Not only can you hear it, but you can participate in it. You can add your own thoughts and learn something and so on. Well, that's the way, people become human, you know. That's the way you become human participants in a social and political system.
Set your dial to CFRC 101.9 FM on Thursday mornings at 11:30 a.m. to hear Planetary Radio. For information all about the quest to know our solar system, our galaxy, and beyond.
Listen, I got a passion for spitting, smashing a competition. Vocals, a logo for the back-to-back world champion. Pistons undebatable, flesh is biodegradable. People ego deflatable, see no evil and play the role. I'm Peter Gabriel with a sledgehammer. Blood standards, red-handed, set standards, dedicated, a deal of proof. Abel Miracle, Fannie Lou Hamer, Marlon Riggs, Nina and Fred Hampton. Yeah. There goes the neighborhood like Fred Sanford next door to Ned Flanders. These cats pop off at the mouth like over Redenbacher. My lyrics open up the portal, see your seven chakras, helicopter circling. Watch the exchange of Betty Crocker. Soap operas and Benton drama. Prevent it, remember not for smash. Various on the roadblocks. You don't get it, do you? The struggle don't stop it, don't quit. Worldwide winning with style and globetrotters. Don't try to sit home if you stuck in time. A broke watch, smash. Walls of hate, end it for the next ascendance. Watching them fall from grace, repping for the independence. Futuristic sound, you just missed it now. Present with the essence, who we ball, but it all is fake, yeah.
When you don't pay attention, man.
That's why your power is the size of your attention span. Miller said it best.
You don't pay attention, man.
That's why your respect's the size of your attention span. It's fresh air when I'm speaking to y'all. Sometimes it falls upon deaf ears like I'm speaking to walls. I ain't preaching to y'all, breaking cycles of violence, not repeating they flaws. Open up your memory bank, I got the key to the vault. Serving the antidote to Alzheimer's, deleting and stall. Can't go below, but think it over. We the leaders we've all been waiting for. Believe it, heed the call, breathe it, keeping involved. These lyrics, heat seekers deplete, tweet us till the speakers dissolve. Each generation must find its mission, fulfill or betray it. I know that ours is more than just being killers or players. Yeah. Of making millions of papers. Uh-huh. Our blood is spilling the haters. Too much injustice among us, is it still a complacent? Yeah. Smash the walls of hate, end it for the next ascendance. Watching them fall from grace, repping for the independence. Futuristic sound, you just missed it now. Present with the essence, who we ball, but it all is fake. Yeah.
When you don't pay attention, man.
That's why your power is the size of your attention span. Miller said it best.
When you don't pay attention, man.
That's why your respect's the size of your attention span. Smash the walls of hate, end it for the next ascendance. Watching them fall from grace, repping for the independence. Futuristic sound, you just missed it now. Present with the essence, who we ball, but it all is fake. Yeah.
When you don't pay attention, man.
That's why your power is the size of your attention span. Miller said it best.
When you don't pay attention, man.
That's why your respect's the size of your attention span.
Wanting people to listen, you can't just tap them on the shoulder anymore. You have to hit them with a sledgehammer. And then you'll notice you've got their strict attention.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from the basement of Carruthers Hall, Queen's University campus, Kingston, Ontario.
Welcome to Bash Back with DJ Flip.
And DJ Fraz.
Alright, so we're going to run through a little bit of community announcements right now.
So first up is to keep an eye out for Rad Frosh, which is a month-long series of events and workshops and presentations designed to introduce new and old Queen students to radical politics and community organizing, both on and off campus. So this features events ranging from a prisoner's justice workshop to a indigenous resistance to Canadian colonialism workshop to a bike repair workshop and critical mass. So be sure to keep an eye out for this series of events. It should be up on the OPIRG Kingston website soon, which is opirgkingston.org.
Also, the Queen's Coalition Against Racial and Ethnic Discrimination, QCRED, will be putting on events the next couple of months as well as part of Rad Frosh. So look out for events such as the Alternative History to Queens, meet and greet with some awesome profs that you should check out and get to know. And also film screenings of all kinds, as well as Each One Teach Ones that should be coming up. And make sure to listen to The Massive on CFRC. It's on Mondays at 7 o'clock for more updates, or go to the website at qcred.org. There should be more updates coming up soon.
And our final announcement is for a zine that's being produced by the Fierce and Fabulous crew in Guelph around the title is Polyamory Behind Bars. So the deadline for submissions is actually today, but I don't think it's too late to submit. If you still wanted to, you can still try and get some stuff in. But basically, this is a zine designed to talk about issues facing the people under state repression and the prison system queer and trans folks face in trying to maintain relationships with their partner or partners. And the zine is seeking people who have experienced sort of these conditions or are currently experiencing them are invited to submit. And if you can't submit, or just keep an eye out for this scene, which is going to be released September 18th.
All right, that sounds awesome. Here at Bashback, we're always really intrigued and concerned about the different ways in which the state works to repress and oppress particular groups of people. And with the Robert Picton case sort of making it very prominent in the news these days, we thought that sex worker rights is something that really needs to be addressed on air. So we're hoping for next week to be able to interview some folks that do this sort of activism on the ground. Today we're going to sort of lay out a little bit of groundwork and talk about some folks who have been doing that.
All right, and right now we're gonna go to some music.
La Máquina Tropical. Cumbia Queen. Tiene el orgullo de presentar.
Arreglo carro, calendario. Te miro a diario y en el taller, con tu figura, mi calentura. Ay, se me sube, no lo puedo yo creer. Mis compañeros de mí se ríen, no entienden que te quiero con sinceridad. Y aunque seas foto empapelada, de la pared nunca te voy a descolgar. Ella es mi chica, el calendario. De un año a otro, nada ha cambiado. Ella es mi chica, el calendario. Es un oasis cuando arreglo carros.
Ándale, güerita, yo te arreglo el coche.
Horsemen, no horse or men, but unicorns, striped like zebras, the charged Savannahs, water buffalo still smelling rice patties, Kona cracking banana plucking monkeys, golden llamas with haughty eyes, Bengal tigers, brown pump beavers, and an orgy of dolphins. Yes, these are the heralds of the end. Not the end of days, but the end of the days. The stupor of ignorance and alienation. The end of being judged by stereotypes and crudely fashioned representations. Founded on an edifice of fear and encrusted Western mythos. And the beginning of true understanding from a people's own stories, legends, writings, and songs. This is not the end of days, but the end of the gaze. The end of rampant paranoia and distrust of the public visual appearance and the private sexual experience. And the beginning of a look that finds boys kissing in parks and brown kids traveling in packs. Is commonplace and trendy, you're seeing the sunshine and advertising. No, this is not the end of days, but the end of a phase. The end of devouring resources if only one group of people matter. The end of a reign of toy stealing, food grabbing, oil squabbling, children dressed as nations and empires. The beginning of a world where wisdom is true power, where there are still things left to believe in, and violence makes us look stupid and weak. Yes, the time has come to repent. Throw down your ignorance and your prejudice. Give up your willfulness and willful ignorance and ineffective guilt. Embrace the end of the days, the gaze, and that phase, because the Q-pocalypse is here. That's right, we queer people of color, the Q-poc, are here, and it's only just begun. We are here to introduce you to new and exciting foods: frog's eggs and chicken fetus eggs, fried bananas, goat roti, freshly smoked jasmine rice, and curry hot enough to rip the hair from your pubic mound. We are here to open your mental horizons, show you a world where everything from your computer and iPod to rocks and seeds has a spirit or an essence or a truth, where you're like incense so your dead can watch over you, the land speaks to you, history's past from heart and mouth, and a jolly fat man does not bring presents, but instead brings nirvana. We are here to widen our fashion sense, show you the shimmering folds of saris and the practicality of dreadlocks, be proud of our pieces of bones and stones, love the good flow of a good kimono, make your jeans and t-shirts look drab to our burkas, and block your baseball caps with turbans that block out the sun. We are here to share the air with you. We are here to contribute and teach. We are here to be fabulous, funny, and fundamentally equal. And we are here to seduce your sons and daughters at the same time. So repent, repent, and sing and dance and eat and fuck, fuck like an orgy of dolphins, because the Q-pocalypse is here. And together, let's give birth to the new world.
Yeah. I'm on the pulse of global issues. Tune into Democracy Now!'s War and Peace Report, heard right here on CFRC 101.9 FM on weekdays from noon to 1 p.m. and rebroadcast again weekdays at 7 a.m. Democracy Now! Provides their audience with access to people and perspectives rarely heard in the U.S. corporate-sponsored media. Tune in or check them out online at democracynow.org.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
This is Madeline reporting for Alternative Frequency.
Hello, this is Christopher reporting
for Alternative Frequency. This is Julio reporting for Alternative Frequency.
Reporting for Alternative Frequency.
Are you interested in journalism and news programming?
Do you want to join CFRC's Alternative Frequency news team?
Contact Courtney at cfrcnews@ams.queensu.ca or
drop by CFRC, located at the basement of Carruthers Hall at Queen's University.
And pick up a volunteer application form.
Are you interested in social justice or environmental issues? Do you want to make local connections to global issues? And do you want to break outside the Queen's bubble? Well, sign up for the Ontario Public Interest Research Group's free newsletter, Ear to the Ground. It's emailed out once a week and is full of local events such as speakers, films, festivals, community arts, and activist action alerts. You can subscribe on the OPIRG Kingston website. Go to www.opirg.org or call 533-3189.
welcome back to Bashback. We're just going to run through a bit of the set list for you. The first song that you heard there was Chica de Calendario by Cumbia Queers, and then Q-pocalypse by Festral.
And after that, we heard Box Squad with 1492. And right after that were a couple of promos, PSAs, and then LOL with How the World Began.
So we're going to talk about, I mentioned in a little bit in the beginning about the Robert Picton case. So we're just going to go through a little bit of a background just in case you haven't heard, although it's been quite prominent in the news these days, and as well as when he was first arrested. So we'll go through a little bit of a history, I guess, of what's been going on.
So Robert Picton was convicted in 2007 on 6 counts of second degree murder of women sex trade workers that he had picked up in the downtown east side and murdered on his pig farm outside of Vancouver. And there are as many as 49 women who may have been murdered by Robert Picton, but only six charges have been laid. Like, only 6 women have actually has he been charged for murdering in the system. And there were 20 other charges that were prepared to be sort of brought against him, but they were dropped. And now he's serving 6 different terms of life in prison, but is going to be eligible for parole in a few years.
And so we here at Bashback wanted to sort of have the conversation of like, what does this mean to us as queers, and how does this sex work really affect our lives, the lives of other queers? So
yeah, I guess most recently in the news has been sort of the scathing report on the Vancouver Police Department and the RCMP and their lack of action around their complete and total lack of action as dozens of women went missing from the downtown east side. Their refusal to believe that there was a serial killer who was abducting and murdering women, and their like refusal to listen to the voices of the families of these sex trade workers who were, you know, crying out that something was happening, that something was very wrong. The report that came out talked about how there were 2 different tips that were really, really big tips that the police did not sort of follow. One was a woman who was assaulted by Picton on his farm, who like escaped, and another was a former employee who, and that was in 1997, another was a former employee who in 1998 tipped off the Vancouver Police Department that Picton was abducting and murdering women, sex trade workers on his farm, and this sort of, he was not brought, he was not sort of taken into custody until I think it was 2003.
Yeah, and I think it definitely speaks to this whole, this very intense criminalization of sex workers and a severe marginalization of their rights and our inability and our government's inability to recognize sex work as a form of labor to provide any sort of safety measures for workers, and making it impossible to, with the stigma that comes from sex work, making it absolutely impossible to go to the police and have the police take these women seriously until something like this happens. You know, I was reading an article that said we only pay attention when these women are already dead, you know, and so the treatment of sex workers is so severe, and it's like any job that has to do with, you know, with being, like, in the streets, or, you know, like, at certain points of the day, like, are clearly already dangerous, and without, and there's no form of safety. There's very little support at all. Social support for sex workers.
And under the conservative government, there have been several sort of changes to different laws, basically designed to further criminalize sex work indoors, which is generally a bit safer than working on the street. And it's just outrageous that Canadians allow these type of laws criminalizing that are sort of embedded in this discourse that you can, like, eliminate or end or, like, mm-hmm. get rid of sex work, when all it does is force women onto the street, and how this is happening at the same time as all these details are coming out about how all of these sex trade workers, these women who were working on the street, were abducted and murdered, and there was no the processes for justice and the legal system in Canada totally failed.
And also, if you think about the people in, you know, that are constantly marginalized in any sort of form of employment, you know, turning to sex work, for some, it is definitely their own choice. You know, for others, it's a choice to live, and you're finding a lot of, particularly in Vancouver, a lot of trans women and Indigenous women, you know, who are finding these, like, such severe barriers within other employment, turning to sex work as a means to survive. So it's unfortunate that the government doesn't see that as a form of work, when they're clearly, I mean, it's still fulfilling particular labor needs that Canadians are clearly still taking part in.
And I think right now we're going to go to a piece by Mira Soleil Ross, who is a trans activist, video maker, sex workers' rights activist, born in Montreal and now living in Toronto, who's also very prominent in the animal liberation movement. So we're going to go to a piece by her.
And it's a very, she's also an animal liberation front activist, and so it's heavy on that, but the piece itself sort of ties in the need for queer communities to recognize our roles in within all of these sorts of movements and within activism itself. Right.
I host a weekly animal rights radio show on CIUT 89.5 FM. Last Thursday, while anti-poverty activists were getting their bones crushed and their eyes burned by our oh-so-loving representants of injustice, I had the honor to interview on our show Rod Coronado. He's an Indigenous traditionalist of the Pasqui Yaqui Nation and has been an Animal Liberation Front activist since 1985. He was the first U.S. activist to be incarcerated in a federal state prison for actions carried on behalf of the earth and the animals. He was sentenced to 4.5 years for his participation in a 1992 ALF raid and arson attack on Michigan State University's Fur Bearer Research Facility, where 32 years of research intended to benefit the fur farm industry was destroyed, and 2 mink from the experimental fur farm were rescued. He was released from jail last year and returned to his homeland in Tucson, Arizona, to gain back some strength from his elders and to teach Indigenous youth in a high school about the animals and the earth. There are so many industries that torture and destroy animals in all impunity, billions of animals every year in North America. So I asked Rod why, as an animal liberation and Indigenous warrior, he has focused his attacks against the fur industry. He answered this. As an indigenous person, the fur trade represents so much more to me than just animal abuse. It represents cultural genocide. They were the foot soldiers of an invasion and conquest in the New World. They were the ones who introduced disease. They were the ones who introduced alcoholism. They were the ones who introduced gunpowder and many, many things that led to our decimation. So it's a continuation of a century-old resistance to conquest and colonialism and imperialism. So I have an incredible amount of empathy for the animals on fur farms and in the wild in steel-jawed leg-hole traps, because they are suffering just as my ancestors suffered. And the fur trade today is the modern incarnation of those very same people who murdered and destroyed my people and my homeland. After the interview, I was walking with my boyfriend in direction of Queen's Park to see if there was still some action going on over there. Unfortunately, all that was left were stinky, flattened piles of horse shit and police officers babbling, almost drooling onto overly agitated journalists with stinky, flattened horse shit stuck under their shoes. So there wasn't much left to do, and it gave me some time to think about my own activism and how over the last 14 years, so many times I wished that lesbians, gay men, bisexuals, and transsexuals as a whole were able to make the kinds of powerful connections that Rod Coronado had just made on the radio. I thought about how so many times I wished making connections between oppressions and political networking in the queer community meant more than just building alliances between the Princess Diana Memorial Synchronized Swimming Gay Team, the National Organization of LGBT FPTLMNEOP Cheerleaders, and Top, sarcastically renamed by some grassroots transsexual activists as transgender officers into power and supremacy. How many times did I feel like asking queer people what they will do once they obtain same-sex benefits all across the board, once they have the right to marry and even get the Pope's benediction for it, once they own Canada Wonderland and the Maple Leaf Garden, once they attain the ultimate objective on the official queer political agenda, the right during Pride Week celebrations to hang at the top of the CN Tower a giant rainbow flag, symbol of our unshakable unity and diversity. Then what will happen, I ask? Are they going to comfortably sit at home on their lazy queer asses? What are they going to do once they become respectable enough citizens to occupy half the seats of the Reform Party? I know that uniforms are big in Gayland, so many gay men will probably spend some significant amount of time kissing the police ass to get them to chase the prostitutes out of their mega merry old gay city so that they can get to the bathhouse without having to bear the sight of women renting their pussies to guys they wish they were able to suck the dick of. I've been wondering if they'll finally sit down and reflect on the fact that their nice attraction parks, their dandelion-free golf course, their dream cottage by the lake, their condos and 12 dozen bathhouses are built on stolen Indian land. I'm wondering if they'll finally have enough time to realize that their fully equipped leather chamber is the product of a vile industry that murders billions of cows every year and reduces them to mere meat-making and milking machines, to quote-unquote mammalian bioreactor. I'm wondering if they'll think about the inhumane working conditions and the deadening of workers from racial and cultural minorities in slaughterhouses in the United States. I'm wondering if thinking about these things will make them women and men enough, human and humane enough to transform their chamber into a 100% post-consumer leatherette boudoir. I was 16 years old when I saw on television a documentary showing animals, coyotes, foxes, minks, wolves, birds, raccoons, and lynx agonizing for hours in cunny bear and steel jaw leg hole traps and snares. I was so traumatized by what I saw that I immediately knew that these 12 minutes of footage had instantly and radically changed my life forever. Seeing these animals struggling in traps, chewing their own legs to get away, drowning underwater while trying to pull their head out of those metal claws that rip their flesh, instantly brought back to my consciousness every single incident of violence and inhumanity I had ever seen perpetrated by human beings against other human beings or against animals. From the daily beatings that I endured in elementary and high school for years, to a certain white male teacher in my grade 7 class cracking jokes about the lips of a black student, to my uncle and aunt catching my four-year-old cousin smoking and deciding to teach him a lesson by restraining him and burning his fingers with a lighter, to remembering watching Roots on television and seeing Kunta Kinte getting his foot hacked off by a plantation owner, to watching a film called Mourir à tue-tête in which a man beats up a woman, rapes her, and pisses on her at the end, to being forced by my parents to go ice fishing when I was about 5 years old and witnessing a group of six kids kicking and dismembering a large, live, and struggling duck fish while their parents said, "When you're finished playing, come in the shack, we've got some nice hot chocolate for you." All of these images and many more came up to my mind and paralyzed me for hours. I've never been able since then to separate one from another. After seeing this program, I did make some links and immediately quit eating meat, even though I thought I was going to die within 1 month, and even though my parents drove me crazy repeating I had been brainwashed. As a typical white trash Quebecois kid, I had survived my whole life on bologna, cheap fat brown beef, white Western bread with raspberry jam, cheese whiz, overboiled white potatoes, the bi-weekly poutine royale, and on the gastronomy served at such five-star restaurants as Kentucky Fried Chicken's and Harvey's. I also started going to animal rights demonstration, and there I came in contact with people that my social location had until then prevented me from meeting. I was all at one excited, intimidated, and impressed by them. I had never met somebody who had a master's or a doctorate, and I didn't even know you could be a doctor in literature. I knew nothing from nothing dead. I never read a book, didn't speak English, and came from a poor and illiterate family. And when I say illiterate, I don't mean that my parents hadn't read the latest Milan Kundera, but rather that they had both dropped out of school by the age of 10, and that until the age of 40, my father wasn't even able to read the name of a street. And that I grew up until the age of 16 with the TV Guide as my only source of literature, both fiction and nonfiction. The people I met in the animal rights movement helped me learn non-slang French, which was very practical, helped me with my grammar, and encouraged me to learn English and Spanish and to return to school. Most of them were women who were also involved in other social movements. They supported my young mind and heart and built on my genuine feelings of caring for animals and humans in order to help me gain a global political analysis of the ways animals, some groups of human beings, and the earth are treated by the dominant culture and its systems. They did so with generosity, respect, without imposing any kind of political program on me, and without any condescendence towards my lack of formal or non-formal education of what we call in French culture. Many of them were also lesbian feminists, so my first readings consisted of books by women like Tigresse Atkinson, Andrea Dworkin, Denise Boucher, Javette Marchessault, Marie-Claire Blais, and Anne-Marie Alonso. I felt stupid and discouraged often because I wouldn't understand what they were talking about. I especially had difficulty reading Nicole Brossard. I would inevitably fall asleep after one page. But these women friends told me not to worry, that easiness with reading came with practice, and added that they too often fell asleep trying to read some of her books. Anything else political I've done afterwards, any demonstration or petition or action or movement I've been a part of, is a direct result of the consciousness I've developed from the support of these animal rights activists and my overall involvement in the animal rights movement. To this day, the people who make me vibrate, who inspire me, who lift my spirit, who turn me on, who nourish me intellectually, politically, and spiritually are activists, writers, artists, who are not scared of being ridiculed and bring down in their personal and political lives the untouchable barriers instituted and maintained between human and non-human animals by centuries of Western propaganda. They are people like longtime vegan and civil rights activist Dick Gregory, who makes a strong comparison between the way animals are treated by the meat industry and the living conditions of African Americans in the ghettos. People like talk show host Montel Williams, who cried on his show one day while talking about how he cannot separate the images of chained and beaten circus African and Asian elephants from images of the enslavement of his own people in America. There are people like legendary performance artist Rachel Rosenthal, who barely escaped the Nazi Holocaust with her family and who asked, How dare we? How dare we do this? As horrible and abominable the Nazi period was, it was mercifully short. But we have been doing this to animals for countless centuries. And in the past century, it's gotten to a point because of our technology where we're capable of eradicating billions of animals a year and breeding them in order to do this, in order to torture and kill them, and for reasons which are spurious, which are absolutely no longer necessary and cannot be condoned. Other people who have made similar contributions include labor activist Cesar Chavez, Earth First activist Judy Berry, researcher Jane Goodall, writer Alice Walker, Rasta artist and poet Benjamin Zephinia, and the people from the MOVE organization. In her latest book, Stolen Harvest, Indian environmentalist and physicist Vandana Shiva writes, At the threshold of the third millennium, liberation strategies have to ensure that human freedom is not gained at the cost of other species, that freedom for one race or gender is not based on increased subjugation of other races and genders. In each of these strivings for freedom, the challenge is to include the other. For more than two centuries, patriarchal, Eurocentric, and anthropocentric scientific discourse has treated women, other cultures, and other species as objects. Experts have been treated as the only legitimate knowers. For more than two decades, feminist movements, third world and indigenous peoples movements, and ecological and animal rights movements have questioned this objectification and denial of subjecthood. I'll finish by saying that I'm hoping one day the queer movement is able to open its political agenda and recognize, embrace struggles that go beyond their immediate boundaries. I'm not too optimistic that this will happen, but I would love for you to prove me wrong.
Thanks for coming. I'd like to welcome the Lost Boys to our show.
It's great to be here.
Thanks a lot for having us.
So, you've been sweeping the queer music scene in a big way, but there's just one issue that you haven't addressed. The viewers out there are really curious about what the Lost Boys have to say on race. I mean, you both are not the image of the African-American urban rapper that we often see. You sound very articulate. Educated. And you, Be Steady, I mean, your skin tone is harder to identify racially. I was just wondering, what are you?
Feel like we out of luck, we feel like we kind of stuck, gotta sell our souls to survive, but we can't make your love, don't know what we trying to find, we running all the fall behind, all up in our roots, I wasn't ready.
Okay, see, I am black, brown, queer, doing what I got to do, and I don't look like Ellen, but some brown folks are gay too, not the L word Tyler Perry, I am not Alicia Keys, my friend, my life is not the shit that they be showing on TV, I am a child of the diaspora of African descent, I'm Sankofa, got my ancestors giving me strength, I'm mestiza, I've been thinking about race my whole life, and though a lot has changed, I've always known some shit ain't right.
Your race, my race is a conceptual competition, created to keep us from finding out, we ain't got no position, here I go, end of this world, the confrontation, I'm a black star, crashed into the spot where white assimilation, wait a second now, I forgot who I was for a minute, I thought this white world really fit like a glove, it's a catastrophe, I'm talking global.
To share prop incarcerated, now they send you south to Angola to work with slave wages. We stressed because we can't make it, and thoughtful just celebrated long as we're inebriated. Some say race is antiquated.
I'm showing on my face all this pain that I feel. My color's chained to what's real. I'm choking on this reality pill. I'm destitute because I have proof that there's something missing. I've been sun kissed with Smith, so now that's my mission. And I ain't greedy, but you trying to tell me content ain't needy. Seriously, I have the scars to prove my strength. That you gon' find amusing all day cruising in your colorless institution.
Feeling like we out of luck, we feel like the kind of stuff we got.
Feeling like we out of luck, we don't know what we trying to find.
not trying to keep it cool. Go to college, grad school, get that education right. Now you share crops, paying debts the rest of your life.
I'm gonna step, step, step my way up out of this competition. We're running in a race and ain't none of us winning. So follow me up to this enterprising cosmic event. Buy a train ticket out of here, best money ever spent.
I am Tucson, Miss Tubman, motherfucking John Brown. I'ma ride or die quick to kick this racist system down. But my sisters, my community, the people who get me, I'ma make a lot of noise until I die. Are you with me?
I've learned to press pause with every departure. Yeah, fast forward, resume to the next yearly juncture. But it's okay now, this life has made me much more selective. I like those who crave to engage, strip down, don't fuss with protective. Real conversations with real eyeballs and no smoke screens. I like sobriety, I like philosophy, I like those who aspire to keep their spirits clean. I like those who aspire to say as they mean. And I like those who really want to be seen. Superficiality, sitcom shopping malls and virtual reality. We draw curtains in nice and tight, worry about the SUV, the mortgage, the price is right. And while we all love Bob Barker, our worlds are just growing darker. More and more unsure and uncertain. Who's behind number one? Who's behind number two? Is number three your privacy curtain? Yeah. And I think it's sad if you find me alarmingly disarming. And I look for those who align and who find the honesty charming. What is the use of being afraid of each other now? There's only this moment or this one alone. There's another day, pass as quickly as they come, like travelers in the night. They entertain you, fill you or strain you, and then the next day rises up. I'll see you in the season. Those full-bodied, wide-legged prizes. I'll see you in the season that decides us. I'll see you in the season, those sizzling changes. I'll see you in the moment when you really want to be seen. More and more unsure and uncertain. More and more unsure and uncertain. Behind number one, who's behind number two? Is number three your privacy curtain? Yeah, yeah. And I think it's sad if you find me alarmingly disarming. And I look for those who align and who
find the honesty charming.
And we're back. The tracks you're listening to were Lost Boys with The Race and Disarming by Amber Swift.
And before that was the piece by Marisol Ross, which was given at a conference, I think in 2000. She was talking about the need for queer people and queer movements to break away from just focusing on things like gay marriage and ending Don't Ask, Don't Tell and putting a pride flag on the top of the CN Tower and sort of branching out into the communities that queer people, the other identities and complexities of identities that queer people occupy and the different sort of communities that they also occupy.
Yeah, and I thought it was really interesting what she was saying about how she got started in activism, and I think that like everyone has their own little tidbit about how they found the particular communities that they found, and I think that DJ Faz was saying, like what she was getting at, you know, how the multiplicity of our communities should really be a central point in how we experience things and how we act on it.
And that's definitely something that we here at Bashback are very passionate about.
So we're thinking to go now. Look forward to some future shows on, I think we're going to be interviewing some sex worker rights activists, and hopefully bringing that voice onto on air.
And hopefully we can get both folks from Kingston and outside of Kingston on air, so look forward to that.
So we'll leave you off with a couple of tracks.
Right now is the State Of with what is this track? The State Of with Anything For You, and after that we're going to hear from Benny E with Call Me Daddy.
Alright, have a good night.
Thanks for tuning in.
This is DJ Flip
and DJ Frass.
Perfected the art, and you know that I do. mostly what I learned.